This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
You're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9. That was Robin with Dream On. We've got myself, Petro, Steve and Sarah in the studio tonight.
How's hey, it going, guys? Petro, how you doing?
I'm doing very well.
How are you, Petro? How are you?
I'm doing good.
I think I just asked that question, Chantel. I called you Chantel. That's another co-host on Generation Next. This is the lovely Sarah sitting across from me.
It sure is.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can give us a text in on 0427 Joy 949, or you can also give us an email, can't they, Pedro?
honor@joy.org.au.
That's the one.
Or they can ring Cheryl on the phone.
The lovely Cheryl. I think she's just about to
she's about to
exit the building. So call her right now, 96992949.
Before she goes.
That's right. Well, we've got lots coming up on the show. We'll be chatting to the very, very beautiful and wonderful international celebrity blogging star, Mr. Brian Boy, who I caught up with on my other show on Joy,
yes.
Glitter and Tonic. And we'll also be taking a look at your documentary.
Yeah, I did a documentary for uni this year, and it's on the coming out experiences of four different people at the Joy radio station. So, yeah, we'll be taking a listen to that in the second show.
This is the documentary that I was not invited to partake in, but however, I'll get to listen to it.
It's okay, Steve.
I'm crying.
Hey, as Sarah said, she wasn't invited.
I wasn't invited too, so
I know,
can't cry.
But, you know.
Nah, four very special individuals will share their stories.
You are special, Steve.
Oh, thanks.
We love you, Steve. Chugs.
You're listening to Generation Next here on Joy 94.9. And right now, what do we have coming up, Pedro?
What have we got coming up? Well, I'm going to ask you about your experience on Saturday, because I believe you both went to the Equal Marriage protest.
That's right. Equal Love. The event was started in Federation Square, which was hosted by Joy's very own Doug Pollard and Lulu McClatchy, who you may know as Supergirlie. And the two gorgeous twosome hosted the inaugural, the party before with the performances and from Melbourne singer and songwriter Brad Schmidt, the Nymphs, who are a girl group. When I say girl group, they're a folk kind of poppy girl group.
Yep.
And Lulu also as Supergirlie performed a few performances. So again, it was a great. Oh, and Katie Underwood also performed with her musicians from Swing Both Ways down at Heaven's Door and Commercial Road. No plug there, but. It was really good to see all those performances before the actual march. Now, wasn't that quite sensational?
I was actually starting at the march. I didn't actually see the performances.
The performances, oh, they were sensational.
I saw the performance after the march, but when the march started, it was amazing to have all these people together to just march down Swanston Street and then turn up Collins Street, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. Up Swanston Street, as you said, but then into Collins Street and up to the State Parliament.
Yeah, Parliament House.
The Registry Office, so.
And what would you say was the general vibe of the people participating?
I'd have to say, Sarah, and I think you would agree that the vibe was a push for, of course, equal rights, equal love, equal rights, and I guess all of us standing together in unity for the one thing that we all really would like is equality in marriage, and the feeling was, I guess, one of hope and what hope and happiness. Yeah.
I don't think you can say it any better, because you really, really wrapped it up in a nutshell.
Oh,
it was
thanks.
Hope, it was unity, it was people together in unity. Sorry, I'm just going to say the unity word.
Directed. It's all about the you.
All about the you, the I, the me.
The us.
The
so,
us.
Hey, were there a lot of other young people there?
Yeah,
there were
quite a few.
It was quite a generational event, because you had the older queers in the community, and then it just went flickered on down to us young people, and it was quite a great amalgamation of everybody all together. So it was sensational. If you want to give us a text in and say that you were at the Equal Love rally, you can on 0427 Joy 949, or you can What else can they do? They can give us a call.
They can call off.
96992949.
But right now, here's a great track lined up.
A Little Boots with Remedy.
On Joy Generation Next.
Midsummer is celebrating queer culture and preparing for 2010.
You can now register for your own community-produced event, whether it's cabaret, live music, a play, a dance party, or even a queer sporting event.
Midsummer wants you to help shape the success for the 2010 festival. Go to midsummer.org.au for more information.
Globe, Melbourne's gay and lesbian organisation of business and enterprise, supports small to medium businesses.
Globe hosts specific events and tailored workshops for GLBTI business owners.
For the full event schedule and more details about Globe, go online to gaybusiness.com.au/globe.
You're listening to Generation X here with Steve and Pedro and Sarah here on Joy 94.9. Give us a text on 0427 Joy 949 or email us on air at joy.org.au and let us know how your night's doing on this Tuesday night. Now, earlier in the week, I had a chance to catch up with the gorgeous, gorgeous, effervescent Mr. Brian Boy, who is an international show-stopping a celebrity blogger, and he blogs about fashion and celebrities, and you can check him out at brianboy.com. And I had an interview with him earlier this week for Glitter and Tonic, but we can play it for you here on Generation Next.
And you do the blog from home in Manila?
Well, from my bedroom here in the third world, yeah. But actually, that's where I go. Yeah.
Fabulous. Hey, you're pretty much an international blogging superstar, and you're always on the mark for what's hot in fashion. What do you think are this season's hottest items to look out for?
Oh gosh, there's really like a lot of things that I really love. I'm currently obsessed with everything Marc Jacobs, as always.
I know.
And definitely like t-shirts from Longvin and everything from the Australian designer called Dion Lee. I mean, I really, really love him.
I was looking at the site and I saw that you were quite a fan of him. So
Yes. That's
great that you're supporting some Aussie stuff.
Of course.
Excellent, excellent. And I guess a massive fan of Dolce as well.
Well, yes. I mean, the guys at D&G are always great. I love their sense of style. I love Dolce & Gabbana and Mark. Everyone.
Which gay boy doesn't like Dolce & Gabbana?
True.
Style.com has called you a cult read in fashion circles, and top designer Marc Jacobs designed a bag for you due to your massive fame, an extremely entertaining blog, which is constantly run with such fun and a little bit of cheekiness as well. What kind of gets you going to get on and say your piece?
Well, the thing is, I mean, for me, I don't really take my blog too seriously. I mean, I write whatever I like. And to me, I mean, I just want to entertain my readers. You know, at the end of the day, as long as I make people laugh and smile, I mean, it's great.
You certainly do, because your Faggoty in Motion vlogs,
Oh my God, those old videos. I mean, I don't do them anymore, but they're great. They're fine.
I know, and I thought, I've got to ask you, because you'll cringe at the thought of those old videos.
I know. Well, see, every time I do something like crazy in the past, I just cringe at it. But no, I mean, for me, like, you know, I'm a very spontaneous person. So if I go crazy one day, I'll just do whatever I want and then, you know, worry about it later. Just try to forget it like a year later. Yeah. But they're really great. I mean, I have no regrets, though.
Yeah. But look, for those of you who don't know about the Faggoty in Motion, I guess, videos, they are quite a sensation of, you know, Brian just doing his thing and strutting himself on the camera, and as he's been quoted as saying, he's just so effing pretty. He likes to be in front of the camera, and I know that. I know that for sure.
Sometimes the thing is, like, you know, like what I said, I live here in the Philippines, and sometimes, you know, there are moments when you're so bored. So, you know, why not get a blonde wig, you know, borrow your grandmother's wheelchair, put on some heels, and just,
and
like,
do some fun stuff. Yeah, of course.
I mean, sad that some people take it too seriously. Like, you know, who's this crazy guy? I mean, for me, it's great. Yeah, I love it whenever I provoke people or, like, get attention. I mean, it's great. But some people just take it too seriously.
I know, hon. You know, the thing is, people do take it too seriously. And you had me in absolute hysterics when I was preparing for this interview. Because, as I said, I use the word sensation because
you just
light up. You light up people's faces, and other presenters that have seen you are very, very entertained by you. So,
Thanks. You
grew up in Manila, and you're currently living in Manila, and went from being practically unknown to strutting your stuff on the international stage with some of the hottest crew in fashion. What an amazing transformation.
Yeah, I mean, for me, every day it's like a surreal day. You know, every time I meet somebody new or like, you know, talk to somebody, I mean, it's so surreal. But for me, it's just like, you know, you just take one step at a time and you meet people and it's just a, you know, a great experience. And I'm really incredibly blessed. You know, I mean, just like so thankful. So, yeah.
I think to be introduced to different people all the time in a business where you're commenting and you're criticizing and you're influence thoughts for the next season. I think with saying that, you are somebody that people listen to and watch for.
I'm not sure about that.
I think so. A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, but again, I mean, for me, like, I don't know, this whole fame thing's just an illusion, I guess. I mean, I'm like the same old person as I was like 5 years ago. I mean, maybe I've changed a little bit, but, you know, for me, I mean, my blog is just a blog. At the end of the day, my still, you know, washing my own ass. I'm sorry. No, but you know, like, I still pick my nose and...
You still do all the normal stuff. So just because you're a fashionista doesn't mean that you don't wash your own laundry and clean your own bum. I love it.
I douche with Evian too. I'm kidding. Have you read an article? I mean, I wrote this entry about how to clean, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How to clean your hoo-ha?
Yeah.
Did you really? What has been your craziest moment in the business so far?
The craziest moment? I have to say, gosh, I'm meeting Marc Jacobs for the first time.
I know.
Surreal.
You know, Brian Boy, I was just chatting to a friend of mine, and I said I was interviewing you, and I said I was really excited, and he said, I'm jealous already, bitch. And then I said, and you know what? Brian Boy has had a bag designed for him and given to him by Marc Jacobs. And he said to me, oh my God, I hate him too, bitch.
Mark's such an incredible and, you know, kind and generous guy. And for him to do that, I mean, it's such an honor and a privilege.
Mm, well, he said about you that he gives you a 10 for effort and he loves your passion for fashion. After all, would we designers be without enthusiasm like yours? So he's being quoted as giving you quite a...
I know. True. No, like what I said, I mean, he's just like the best. I mean, he's like America's, you know, the best designer ever. I mean, yeah.
He is. I truly believe so too. Hey, tell us about your favorite things that you do when you travel about the globe, being so utterly chic as you do. You travel from Manila to LA and to London and to Paris and all different places. And I guess with each city offering so many different cultural experiences and each city having its own fashion identity, it would be quite varied. Your experiences in each city.
To be honest with you, like, I mean, the thing is, I mean, fashionistas are like fashionistas everywhere. They're always, you know, they're all bitchy and snobby and, you know, all these cliches. No, I'm kidding. Everyone, like what I said, I've been so incredibly lucky and blessed to meet everyone, you know, no matter wherever part of the world. I mean, people seem to be so accepting and understanding and really nice. And, you know, I guess everywhere I go, just people are just so, you know, great.
But you can also say that some are really, really bitchy as well.
Not true. I think the gays are bitchier than the fashionistas. Gays and their snarky comments. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what it is. I mean, yes, for some reason, like, a lot of my friends are, like, straight, and then sometimes I think, like, the gays hate me or something like that.
The gays love you.
Well, I hope so, but not on the internet.
Oh, they certainly do here at Joy. Now, what is coming up for you this month, and what events on your top list to attend?
Well, I'm coming to Melbourne, and I'll be, you know, attending the Marc Jacobs on Film Festival with.
I know.
And I'll also attend the Melbourne Spring Fashion Week.
We will be certainly looking forward to seeing you out and about here in Melbourne. That's for sure.
I know. I'm so excited. I mean, you know, it's funny because, like, I'm like already preparing my outfits. I know it's like a month away, or like a few weeks away. Yeah. I'm
everybody needs everything. Everybody needs preparation.
I know.
Oh yeah. So where is it to from here for the sensation that is Brian Boy?
Well, for me, you know, I'll just continue what I'm doing with my blog and just travel, try to travel and, you know, explore, you know, other things. Yeah, I really love my blog, so.
Yeah, your blog is quite a great blog. You really explore different avenues, including, you know, celebrities, which we talk about a lot on this show here, but you also go into fashion and lifestyle and different avenues of thought and conversation and commenting, which is really quite varied. So thank you. It's quite a refreshing blog to read.
Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Well, thank you so much, Brian Boy, for joining us here on Glitter and Tonic on Joy 94.9. And to check out more on Brian Boy, you can go to brianboy.com. Isn't that right?
Yep, that's right. And see you guys in Melbourne.
That was an interview that I did with the gorgeous Brian Boy, and you can check him out at brianboy.com. What did you think of that interview, Petro?
Oh, that was fun. He sounded like good fun.
He was good fun. You're listening to Generation Next here with Petro and Steve, and Chantel's also joining us. But if you'd like to go to the Marc Jacobs on Film film, it's celebrating 25 years in the fashion industry, and the designer who brought you grunge to the catwalk continues to surprise and inspire with his unique taste on downtown chic. Presented by the Melbourne Spring Fashion Week, and that's on from the Saturday 29th of August to Sunday the 6th of September. And Brian Boy will certainly be down there strutting his stuff with his, I'm guessing his Marc Jacobs design bag. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing. And you can check him out at brianboy.com. He's truly a sensation. You're listening to Generation X here on Joy 94.9.
You can SMS us 0427 Joy949, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au.
I do too.
Right now, here's Kylie with Nudity.
Aleph Melbourne is a social and support group for Jewish men of all ages who identify as gay, bisexual, or just not straight. Aleph offers confidential and anonymous support in a relaxed and friendly setting. For more details, see aleph.org.au.
Goulburn Valley Pride Incorporated, providing a safe space for friendship, family, networking and fellowship. This GLBTIQA social group is located in the northeast Victorian region. It is a place to meet and socialise with people who are just like you. For more information, visit myspace.com/GVPride. Goulburn Valley Pride Incorporated.
You're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9 with Petro and Steve. But right now, I'm going to be playing a documentary that I made earlier this year. It's called Just Be Myself, and it's about the coming out experiences of four individuals, all at the Joy radio station, who have been on air.
I think I know of a few of them. But
you will know, I think, all of them, Steve.
I think I might, but give it a good listen and let us know how you like it on 0427 Enjoy 949. This is Petro's masterpiece.
Coming out is a life-altering process where a gay, lesbian, bisexual person reveals that they are same-sex attracted. For each individual, it is a unique experience determined by many factors. Nationality, religion, political and social attitudes, class, living arrangements and relationships all affect how and when a person chooses to leave the closet behind. Some people come out at a young age, others in their later years, some don't come out at all. During this feature, you will hear the coming out experiences of four individuals. Each of their stories are very different but equally powerful. They reveal how they coped with the realisation of being non-heterosexual, the reactions and hardships endured, and why coming out was integral in allowing them to live their lives freely, with honesty and a sense of pride. Many can remember the first instances in which they started to feel attractions to the same sex. Bridget is a professional radio broadcaster and the weekly drive-home presenter of Joy 94.9, Australia's only full-time gay, lesbian, bisexual and transgendered radio station.
I was 6 years old when I had a crush on the girl across the road and we had relations in the bunk bed. 16 and a half, I was in a shower with a friend and nearly did, but then my mum's best friend came and knocked on the door. I was six... And I was always attracted to boys and girls. And during high school, I was attracted to several friends and to a couple of movie stars. And I always knew that I was attracted to girls. I never got the opportunity, apart from when I was 6 years old, till I was about 18 again, to really go to girl town.
Adam is a 54-year-old school teacher and presents the highly acclaimed 14-year-long-running program Allegro Non Troppo for the Community Radio Network. He's heavily involved in many aspects of the gay community.
I guess during my school years I was attracted to the same sex, but I really didn't do much about it. The first time I actually proactively went out of my way to acquire a sexual experience, I was just before I was 17.
Chantelle is a 17-year-old student. She produces a queer flagship program on SynFM called Rainbow Juice.
I began to realise that I was attracted to the same sex when I was 14. I just realised and I started dating a girl who was quite older than me, who I knew.
Dan is a 25-year-old marketing manager and also presents on Joy 94.9.
I had a crush on a boy in prep. So what age is that? That's five or so? You know, there was a lot of denial. So it kind of crept up in prep and then grade three, grade four, fast forwarding year nine, year 10, you know. So it wasn't really until I was, I suppose, about 18, 19 when I was in year 12, somebody sat me down and said, look, you know all that stuff you say about the boys in class, you're gay. And I just went, no, I'm not. Oh, maybe yeah, oh, I suppose I'm bisexual. Oh, no, maybe I am gay. So I suppose 18, 19 was when confronted with that actual statement, you are gay, that's when I had to sort of think about it, you know, and stop denying it.
Was this realisation a struggle?
Not at all. I didn't have any issue with it at all, but I wasn't really sure what the feeling was that I was going through. I didn't identify it as being gay or being homosexual. I just thought, I want to try this sexual experience.
Not so much now, but I really struggled with it then, was the fact that, you know, I come from a Vietnamese background. And the rule of that is, as a boy, it is my job, my duty to have a son and carry on the name. I am the last Vo, incidentally. Around about four, I suppose, or five, I was sexually abused by somebody close to the family. So a male abused me. And I can remember at least four times when it happened. When I was coping with the thoughts of having crushes on boys in my early teens, that was the reference material that I used in my own head. That was difficult to sort of have that imagery reconciling with the fact that I do like boys. So the two elements was the fact that, one, I had to carry on a family name, which, you know, physically I couldn't because I wanted to sleep with boys. And the fact that I sleep with men because I was abused as a child. In both instances, I've come to answer that in thinking about that a lot. You know, the first instance is, I can still have a kid. The second instance is, no, that's not the case. You know, whether or not I was sexually abused, I would still be attracted to men.
From a very religious family, so in that sense it was. I knew it was something I wasn't supposed to talk about, and I knew it was something I wasn't supposed to. I knew it was a sin in the eyes of the Catholic Church, and especially my mother. I always knew. I remember reading the book Ruby Fruit Jungle when I was in about year 10, so I would have been about 15, and would read the sex scenes over and over and over again until, you know, the page nearly fell out. So I was aware of it. I was also aware that girls in my year were starting to call me a lemon, a very 80s thing, just basically means a lesbian. It's a terrible word in a way, because if you buy a car that's a lemon, it means it's a dud. So that's where it comes from. So guys would call a woman who's a lesbian a lemon because, you know, she's not going to work for him.
I think the notion of being comfortable with your own sexuality is something that, or my sexuality, is something that probably came into being during my time at Joy 94.9, the radio station in which I work. The reality was I had to reconcile all the differences of what I was versus what your stereotypical image of what a gay person was. I'm not blonde, I'm not 6'1", I'm not blue-eyed, you know? I don't like club music. Once I got to Joy and I saw that the community is much more diverse, you know, has a space for a person like me as myself. And I suppose that there's a lot of sort of self-searching. And I think everybody, regardless of whether or not you're gay or straight, you go through this where you have to learn to accept yourself for all your flaws and for all your pluses. My coming to being was probably about a few years ago during my mid-early 20s, so 23-ish. And I think that that's a pretty good age to start becoming comfortable with your own skin.
The moment a gay, lesbian or bisexual person comes out to someone, it can be a very intense, emotional and frightening experience. There is no knowing how the person will react to the news. Unfortunately, many are condemned for their sexuality, kicked out of home, rejected by family and friends, cut off from inheritance, physically threatened and abused, and bullied by people at school or in the workplace. There are still those who believe that being gay is a choice and that homosexuality is something that can be cured.
The first people I came out to was a couple friends at school and also my cousin. Well, when I told my mum, we were sitting in front of the television and we were watching Big Brother, and my mum asked me, "Shani, you're not gay, are you?" And I said, "Yeah, Mum, I am." She cried, she rang up her other friend, and she wasn't very happy. She even left the house for a few days and went to her boyfriend's house, and there were some dramas when she came back. My mum's actually an alcoholic, and she's dated lots of bad guys who have been in and out of jail. They've been violent and everything, so I saw pretty scary things. But when I came out, I didn't find it too much of a difficult experience when I was in my mum and my mum's boyfriend's company, because I saw worse before. It was only difficult in a different sort of way. It was more of an emotional way. My dad was the opposite. He saw these things were upsetting me. And when it came time for Pride March, when I was 15, he sent me to Pride March and he said, "I'll still love you even if you like girls."
I can remember coming out to my mother. It was at the family dining table in the place where I basically grew up. I told her. It was, you know, we were having a fight. I'd done something. Oh, that's right. I'd come out to my cousin the night before and I didn't go home. So when I got home, she was like, "Well, you never came home and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we love you, but it's so difficult for us to do it when you do crazy things like that." I just blurted it out, or it was, you know, it just came out, you know, "Would you still love me if I was gay?" You know, she looked like she'd just been hit by a car or a brick. Like, her face looked like she just hit a brick wall or something like that. Like, she was just gobsmacked, I think is the word for it. The tears came, and it was a long process, I suppose. And for me, it was just like waiting for her to kind of just process it and think it through and what that meant. And ultimately, it ended up taking probably about a year or two before she kind of accepted it. And there was, you know, incremental events where she slowly accepted it more and more. You know, I was holding the hand of a boy in the car and she saw that. And, you know, I brought a boy home, that sort of thing. And he stayed over. So, yeah, I think it was about a year or two before she accepted it. We didn't acknowledge it between me and her 2-3 years after that.
I was having relationships with women for many years and all my friends knew about it, but my family didn't. But I wasn't living at home. So when my parents actually found out, my mother actually asked my sister and I, she actually set up the whole thing at this dinner. Yeah, it was pretty flammable. So I have two sisters. One, her name is Loidette. The other one is named Mary, and Mary's a lesbian, Loidette's heterosexual. I got there late because I'd been at work or something. And when I got there, it was a Thai restaurant in Sydney. It was very crowded as well. And I got there and there was a very weird atmosphere at the table, which isn't uncommon in my family, but I particularly noticed that there was some kind of weird vibe. And I went off to the toilet and I came back and I was pulling out the chair to sit down again. And my mum looked at me and said, "And are you a lesbian as well?" And my sister's looking at me, you know, just kind of one of those looks on her face, just shaking her head, just going, you know. So what had happened was that my mum, who rarely wears jewellery, Mary said to her, "Oh, you're wearing that ring that Auntie Claire gave Bridge, you know." She said, "Oh, yes, I do wear rings occasionally, and I notice you've been wearing a ring lately. What's that about?" And so then my sister had to say, "Well, you know, she's in a relationship and they consider themselves married and blah, 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 blah." And that's when I came hopping around the corner and she said, "And are you a lesbian as well?" And I went, "Yeah." And then I sat down and then my mum said, "Oh, I thought so, and you've broken my heart, and I'm sure you've broken your father's heart as well." And I looked at Dad and I said, "Have I broken your heart?" He goes, "Oh no, I'm a bit disappointed, but no, you haven't broken my heart." I said, "See, Mum? It's just you."
Dad, it's been different because I think that he had a lot more difficulty dealing with my sexuality, because I think that he's always had trouble dealing with his own. That's a tough one to go through, your own coming out, and I suppose be burdened, is that the word? I don't know if that's the word, but have to take responsibility for someone else's coming out as well. And then deal with the fact that, well, my dad chose not to accept my sexuality. Like, he just would refuse to see it that way. He would find religion again or whatever to relieve himself of his own guilt for his own sexuality. So that's been a really difficult one. And incidentally, my parents divorced, and it was during the divorce where the relationship between my dad and I just, has never been great. And it was just during that period that it just completely broke down. Growing up the way I did, in the culture I did, as opposed to where my father grew up in Vietnam, in the middle of a war where the society's rules are to have a kid, you're not to be gay. You know, he had a completely different set of cultural framework within which he lived and continues to think through. So for me, the culture in which I grew up kind of gave me a different emotional skill set to deal with what I had to deal with.
Mother was really, really upset about it, and she said that Mary and I were both abnormal and that we should have electric shock treatment and that she didn't know what she'd done wrong and maybe she should have breastfed me, all these things. Like, so she was very much of the attitude that something incredibly wrong with it. So that was a horrible thing to hear, although we always knew that she would think that way. And then she would say, and you've kept us out of your life and you haven't told us and we've been wondering for years. And I said, well, why would we tell you when you're going to turn around and say that we're basically abnormal? Why would we want to volunteer that information? So there was the relief that it was out there, but it was also a kind of confirmation. I think when you're worried about someone's reaction, especially if they're family and you have that kind of love bond, whether you get along or not, you can kind of delude yourself that it's going to be all right. You can kind of think, oh, maybe it will be okay. Like, you can keep that kind of utopian thing going in your head. And then when it actually happens...
Adam tells of his coming out experience involving a school teacher.
My first sexual experience was I was just coming up to my 17th birthday. I wasn't interested in any of the kids at school, any of the other boys at school, although the school that I went to was actually rampant with homosexuality because I went to two boarding schools. When I went to state school for 6 months, we had an art teacher, obviously gay. He had all of the traits which one would assume would mean he was gay. And so I thought, okay, I'll have him. I basically went up to him and said, I want to have a sexual experience and I want you to deliver that to me. And if you don't do it, I'm going to go to my parents and to the principal and tell them that you have molested me and that for the last few months you've been lining me up for this. So I really planned it out very carefully and went up quite barefaced and said to him and just looked him straight in the face, and this is what's going to happen if you don't. He said, oh, I'm going to go to the principal right now. I said, go for it. I said, it's too late now. You look as though you're gay and you act as though you're gay and everybody knows you are, and here am I, the poor little schoolboy, and you're going to run up and tell the principal that I molested you. I said, that's just not going to work. Nobody's going to believe that. Best thing you can do is that if you go through with the experience, I won't dob you in and I won't tell anyone. I went up to see him the next day and he was as white as a sheet. He was absolutely terrified and I thought, good, I've got him exactly where I want him. I said, we have to go to your place because I haven't got anywhere we can go, of course. Very reluctantly, he agreed. I went round that night and I hadn't had much of sexual experiences before. And I didn't realise that the art of kissing was an integral part of sex, and I certainly didn't realise that the tongue was involved. This guy, he was actually a very nice guy. He was very handsome, but he was a chain smoker. The first thing I remember that really turned me off was his tongue, which was like a boa constrictor, like a piece of smoked liver, trying to get between my teeth and then working its way around the inside of my mouth like it was in a spin dryer. And it was just the most revolting thing that ever happened to me. It completely turned me off sex. I went through to the orgasm stage, but God knows how. All I wanted to do was just get out. I just thought he was completely revolting and the whole thing was awful.
How does he reflect on the situation years later?
I'm a teacher myself, and I would never have got into that situation. It's been tried on me in the past, but perhaps because I did it to somebody else, I was well prepared. Perhaps I could have been a bit nicer to him, because I completely ignored him from that point on. I just didn't want to know him. I never ever got in touch with him or anything, so I assume he went through a fairly rough time. I don't particularly feel any regret, but when I sort of look at it analytically and think, did I do the right thing? I probably didn't, but at the time I didn't care.
Although many identify themselves as either gay or lesbian, it is not uncommon that many have had experiences with the opposite sex on both an emotional and or sexual level.
Technically, I'd say I'm bisexual. I don't rule out the idea of being in relationships with guys or being drunk and sleeping with guys, and I've done that, and I've had relationships with guys since I've been an adult. Very, very few. The couple of relationships I've had with guys, I've really, really liked them, but I just haven't had that in love feeling. And generally, it's quite brief, and I don't get obsessed or anything. Which isn't to say that will never happen, but I mean, maybe I just haven't met the right man.
Even though I have had sex with women, there's absolutely no way am I sexually attracted to women at all. I find them physically revolting, and the only time I've been able to touch a woman is when I've been really off my face. My three children each have different mothers, and their families, all of them, respectively asked me not to be involved in the upbringing of the children, and they didn't want any financial compensation, which suited me fine. It's the last thing I wanted in my 20s and 30s. My oldest son and my daughter, they made some initial trying to get to know you, but realised very quickly we were such different people and they had such hugely different backgrounds to me, it really wasn't going to work. My youngest son, however, completely different story, because I saw him when he was 11 and the next time I saw him was when he was 18. He turned up on my doorstep and I wasn't expecting him, and I was got quite a surprise because I hadn't seen him for years, and I suddenly opened the door and he looks so much like me. He came round to tell me that he was gay. He came round to blame me, actually. He was gay because it was my fault, because I hadn't been a good father and all of that bullshit. Found out fairly quickly after that he has no issues with his sexuality at all. He's a lot more comfortable at his age with his sexuality than I was.
Despite being out to the people around them, there are still some situations where same-sex attracted people may feel they cannot be open about their sexuality for a variety of reasons.
In front of my little cousins, my parents tell me, your aunties accept you, yet they don't want the children to know.
When I went to Vietnam, that was a place where I kind of became reclusive about my sexual orientation. Whether or not that was needed, I'm still not sure. I think that the mindset within which I was raised, that Vietnamese mindset of a Confucian society where gay people are not accepted, I think it's shifted slightly, because that mindset comes from the 80s when my parents came out. That mindset was a frozen moment in time for them culturally. In their minds, Vietnam is still Vietnam of the 80s. And so when I was raised by the principles of a Vietnam in the 80s. Whereas Vietnam now has changed. And there are gay, lesbian singers, stars.
Sometimes it's easier not to say. I just think it's none of your business. If someone says something homophobic, I find it incredibly difficult to keep my mouth shut.
Unfortunately, many gay, lesbian, bisexual people are subject to discrimination at school or in the workplace, despite a big improvement in social attitudes.
I can generally look at somebody and know if there's going to be a problem. And if somebody has a problem with me being gay, that's not my problem. That's their problem. If they can't accept it, I don't care. I'm not interested in acceptance. The only thing I want is respect. So if I don't get that respect, or if they try to make their problem my problem, I tackle it head on, straight away, and very, very swiftly, really full on. So I've never really had very many problems because I've just been able to stand up for myself. I've been in court a number of times. I've sued a couple of people for discrimination. I've taken two major institutions in front of the High Court for discrimination, so I'm really able to stand up for myself.
I ended up leaving the school, go to another one, and then I was also treated badly at that one because it was very religious, and the teacher came to me one day and told me all about how it was wrong to be gay. So I went to TAFE and finished school there.
I think for women who, like me, are outspoken and are not afraid of saying their opinions, you do cop a bit of resistance to that, and I can never be sure whether it's about being strong and confident or whether it's about sexuality, and perhaps there is a bit of interplay between those two things. But the homophobia I've experienced at work many different times of workplaces over the years, especially when I worked in the country, I couldn't tell whether it was because I don't just agree with people for the sake of it or it was a sexuality thing.
From the stories these four individuals have shared, it is easy to understand why coming out is such a life-changing and empowering experience. Despite the hardships being out may arise, the positives almost always outweigh the negatives. To be out is to be free, honest, and comfortable within oneself.
The best thing about being out and proud is that I can just be myself and that I don't have to play any games. I don't have to perform, and I try not to live up to a projected expectation of what people want me to be.
It's just part of who I am. I don't really have any particular issue to say it's great to be gay. It's just good to be me, and I hope everybody else feels like that.
I think it's one of the best things that has been good for me, because while I do so many things in the community, I'm just happy with who I am and what's happened and relationships I've been in and the friends I've made.
The best thing about being out and proud is the fact that I know that given all the situation in the family, at the end of the day, I'm being open and honest. When you are completely and totally out, you don't change. The reaction from the other people may change, but you as a person, you are just you. And for me, that is the most important, that people are always just themselves.
That That was the very, very gorgeous Petros documentary with those four wonderful individuals, including Miss Bridget Ambosen, who presents the Campervan here on Joy, Dan Vo, who does the Fool and the Opera on a Sunday night, and the very gorgeous Chantel, who does Generation Next and Rainbow Juice on Sin FM, and also the very, very lovely Petro. That was somebody else, wasn't there?
Adam Stobbs,
of course. I just left it to the end just in case. But I just like to say, congratulations, Petro.
Thank you very much.
Because as one of your colleagues in radio and as a friend, I was very proud of you for doing that documentary, and well done.
Thank you, guys.
It just got to the point when I was listening to one particular person telling his story. It made me cry because I never thought that I'm going to be completely open and honest here. I never thought that experience would be like my experience, because majority of the situations that he was in was like a lot like my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And to actually know that someone else has gone through such like a terrifying and messed up situation, but to come out such a beautiful person.
Which is what Sarah and that other person in the documentary are. They are certainly beautiful people, and they came through as shining examples of lovely young gay people in our community. And I guess my advice to anybody who is listening to Generation Next tonight with us, Petro, Steve, and I nearly said, oh, that's terrible, Chantel, Sarah. My God, I get them mixed up sometimes. They're just both so beautiful.
They're like twins.
They are indeed.
Except one has curly hair.
I know. Let me say what I'm going to say. I guess if you're listening to us tonight, it's important that you first take your time to come out. And Petra and I have had a show before, our last time on Generation Next, where we had a coming out special, actually. Do you remember that, Petra?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, and we got quite a good response from that. And I guess be yourself and do whatever it takes to be yourself and be gay, carefree and happy. And whatever anyone else says, Disregard it. Be yourself.
I guess my biggest aim with the documentary was to highlight how unique everyone's situation is. You know, no one's coming out is the same as the person next to them. We all go through different... We all have different struggles, different obstacles to overcome, whether it be family, religion, you know, heritage, background, nationality, that kind of thing. So, it's different for everyone, but, you know, the final destination is always the same, to be happy, honest, free, and comfortable within oneself. And I think most people that do come out do feel that way in the end.
Mm.
Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. I have this really fantastic film idea that I really, 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 really want to do, which is a little bit like another TV series. But I've just had this idea that I'm on this box, just like this white box, and I'm wearing a white flannel shirt.
You sound like a Teletubby.
thank you. And I'm dancing with my closest family and friends. And we're dancing in white, and you know, the sparkles flying everywhere and stuff like that. Dancing to my favorite song,
Campers Tits.
I know it's camp, but to actually be free and to actually dance in the street and have all these people looking at you and thinking, "Hang on, what's going on?" It's my way of saying, "I'm gay. I accept myself at the end of the day. I'm going to shout it out loud. I'm going to make a scene about it just because this is the way that I want to express myself."
Yep.
Because I think it's the best way for me to express myself, because I'm that happy to be who I am. Sorry, I don't mean to go on a tantrum, but a lot of people say that your sexuality is a lot, is basically the basis of who you are. I disagree. I think it's your personality that is the basis of who you are, but your sexuality is definitely a big impact.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to express my vision as well as my sexuality.
And just be proud of who you are.
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. And in keeping with those that message that Sarah has just given you, which is very brave of her to share with you and very beautiful to be so honest.
Thank
as well.
You.
You're very welcome. We've had some messages in, haven't we, Petro?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I'm overwhelmed by the
me
response.
Too.
Great interviews. As someone who came out later and still not to family, it reinforces the view often put on Joy that there is a supportive community out there. Like many life experiences, there is no right or wrong way of coming out. Cheers, Pete. Thank you, Pete, for that.
Thanks so much, Pete. And we've also had a message in from Steve the Truckee, who's a regular listener here at Joy and
hello,
of my other show
we
tomorrow night.
Yeah.
We won't mention that.
I know the name of it. It's...
Shh. That was a fantastic talker. Great views and very well presented. Well done, Steve the Truckee. And another one from Anonymous.
Anonymous one who says great interviews. Oh, thank you, guys.
Thank you. We're quite overwhelmed and again, to Petro for producing the documentary and getting all those people together for a much-needed chat.
Yeah, and it did pay off for my uni scores. Because
he got the marks.
Yeah, I got an A for that, so I'm very
nice.
Happy with it. But I'm glad, you know, the documentary was made to help people, for people to relate, listen, and just, I guess, learn.
Yeah. And you know what? Some people are gay. Get over it.
I'm pretty certain you got an A because that was just so... touching and heartwarming. Like, yeah. There were some points when you really wanted to laugh, and there were some points when you really, really wanted to cry. And I'll be honest again, I actually started crying because I was thinking, oh my God, I can't believe that these people have gone through these situations, and I can't believe that someone similar to me has gone through the same situation. Mm. I just wanted to say that again, that it was so touching.
I'm glad
and
you...
It was amazing. It was such a nice piece of work.
And you know what, Sarah? I'll just say it again. Absolutely, totally agree with you. But I will just say it again and again. I've had just a message in from Liz. Oh, look at that. Hi, Spunks, listening in. I wanted to say a big hello. Love Liz from Fruit and Nuts. Oh, we all love
Liz.
Hi,
Liz. Liz is fantastic.
Hey, gorgeous.
She's grouse.
You know what, Lizzie? I think you'd agree with me when I say this. Some people are gay, and as the slogan says, just get over it.
Alrighty, well, you've been on Generation Next for the past hour. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you've enjoyed this little episode. We had a good time.
We have, haven't we?
We
smiles
have.
All
we
around, have. I see.
We've been with the very, very gorgeous Petro, myself, Steve, and the lovely, effervescent Sarah here on Generation
Thank
Next
you.
On Joy 94.9.
And we're going to kick off the show with LaRue. This is Bulletproof. You're on Joy 94.9.
See ya.
You guys.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.